Bible reading today is taken from the book of James, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, and it's on page 288 of the Pew Bibles. Warning against prejudice. My brethren and sisters, as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, you must never treat people in different ways according to their outward appearance. Suppose a rich man wearing a gold ring and fine clothes comes to your meeting, and a poor man in ragged clothes also comes. If you show more respect to the well-dressed man and say to him, "Have this best seat here," and say to the poor man, "Stand over there," or "Sit here on the floor by my feet," then you are guilty of creating distinctions among yourselves, of making judgments based on evil motives. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. God chose the poor people of this world to be rich in faith and to possess the kingdom which he promised to those who love him. But you dishonor the poor, who are the ones who oppress you and drag you before the judges. The rich, they are the ones who speak evil of the good name which has been given to you. You will be doing the right thing if you obey the law of the kingdom, which is found in the scripture. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. But if you treat people according to their outward appearance, you are guilty of sin, and the law condemns you as a lawbreaker. Whoever breaks one commandment is guilty of breaking them all. For the same one who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Even if you do not commit adultery, you have become a lawbreaker if you commit murder. Speak and act as people who will be judged by the law that sets us free. For God will not show mercy when he judges the person who has not been merciful, but mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen.
And we've heard a reading about showing different kinds of welcome to different kinds of people. And I'm conscious, I'm not sure if I've welcomed everybody this morning, and I'm not sure if you've welcomed each other. So I wonder if we might welcome one another. So I wonder if you could move around and say hello to people that you might not have spoken to yet this morning and welcome them to coming to church. Welcome.
Hello.
Good to see you.
All right. Yeah. There.
Welcome, Philip. Welcome, Pam. Welcome, Stephen. Welcome. 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 Good morning.
Oh, get round.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. All right, Gracie.
Ooh. It takes a bit of time to say welcome to people, doesn't it? Even with the numbers we have this morning.
Hang on. Hey, can you just take it?
Sorry? Can you just take it to the back?
Where's Derek?
Hello, good morning. Morning, Derek. And don't forget the organist.
Oh, no.
She often gets left out. Good morning, Christine.
She's the noisiest one
So our reading was all about welcoming people and how we welcome people. And I wonder if the way in which we welcome people in church is different, perhaps, to the way in which sometimes you might be welcomed if you took your car for a service, or perhaps if you go into the shop and buy something. What sort of greeting do we get there? How does that compare with the sort of welcome that we get when we come into church? What about if we go into a coffee shop? I wonder if when we go to a coffee shop, it might be like the sort of welcome we get when we go into church. And Chris is hopefully going to play us another little clip to show what it might be like. So we started to talk a little bit about welcoming people, or looking at perhaps how we might welcome people. Who else do you think it might be good to try and welcome to our church today? Who else might we like to invite to join us? It's not too tricky a question, but it could be. I'll tell you what, we'll sing our next hymn, which will show you what I was wanting to head towards, which is God the Holy Spirit. It's number 188 in our hymn books. 188, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And I'm going to move and play the piano for this one. Jean Vanier wrote, "Jesus came to bring the good news to the poor, not to those who serve the poor." I think we can only truly experience the presence of God, meet Jesus, receive the good news in and through our own poverty, because the kingdom of God belongs to the poor in spirit, the poor who are crying out for love. Our reading from the New Testament this morning is one that's often made me stop in my tracks and think carefully about my own approach to other people. How easy it is for us to keep ourselves huddled up in our own cozy little world and not allow ourselves to be challenged by the real world that actually exists around us. In our first few weeks in Enfield, many and I have already discovered that the life here in this place is perhaps not quite how it might seem on the surface. To many, I suspect that Enfield appears to be a good place to live. There's a lot going on and life feels good. There's plenty of restaurants to enjoy. We've found a few. Parks, open spaces, even cycle lanes, which according to some have been a little controversial. I will make no comment. But we've also found in early discussions with others that, for example, one of the significant issues that the schools in the area are facing is a problem with debt within families. Are you aware of that? Is it something you've encountered, or is it perhaps something that you yourself may be struggling with? And yet you've possibly not been able to share that, share your own experience with others, even in the church. It is something I've encountered before. I've struggled to cope with the situations where I found people within the church and the community where they've been struggling to be able to have somebody to confide in about their real needs, what's really going on in their lives. I suspect that if you've ever volunteered to help at a food bank, you'll probably understand the sort of thing that I'm talking about. But it may not be just related to the ability of people to put food on their table. A little while back, I found a postcard in an abbey somewhere up north which read, "If this is not a place where my spirit can take wing, where do I go to fly? If this is not a place where tears are understood, where can I go to cry? If this is not a place where my questions can be asked, where do I go to seek? If this is not a place where my feelings can be heard, then where do I go to speak? If this is not a place where you'll accept me as I am, then where do I go to be. If this is not a place where I can try to learn and grow, where can I be just me? What is the church supposed to be like? What is it that a place of worship should be like? This place of sanctuary should be firstly that, a place of sanctuary. Somewhere where you and I can feel at home, at peace. Those words that I read describe to me what kind of place the church should be. Somewhere where you can cry, where you can be yourself, where you can be open and honest and just be you. And I find that those words, alongside the words from the book of James, keep on challenging me as to how I am responding. But how do we react when new people enter this building? How do we respond when people who are different to us come in through the door? So often it seems that churches want to grow, they want to get bigger, they want to see more people worshipping together alongside them. But when you start asking questions about what they really want to see happen, it's that they want people identical to them to come in through the door, not people who are different. James criticizes the approach of the Christians of his day. Yes, these are Christians that he's writing to. What happens, he says, when someone with nice clothes comes into your gathering? You welcome him or her, and yet when somebody comes in who smells a little, what happens? Do I turn away from them? Do I leave them a little space, perhaps? As a result of reading that passage, I do struggle a little bit with what we, the Church of 2018, do today. Think about what happened at the induction service for Melanie and myself. We tried to invite the MPs, the mayors, and the councillors. In some ways, I was pleased that none of them were able to come. But in other ways, I find it difficult because actually, I think we desperately need to work more closely with the local community. We should therefore find ourselves more involved with our local councillors and our MPs, those who work in the council offices. But how do we work out a balance between letting these people know that we are praying for them, but also being willing to stand up and criticize them if they're not acting in a fair and a just way? It's interesting that James mentions in chapter 2 that issue of being taken to court. He says it's the rich who take you to court. And there's something in this day and age about the church needing to stand up for those who seem to have lost their rights within our society. Within the last week, I don't know if you picked it up or not, but it was announced that the Home Office had lost 75%, three quarters, of the appeals made by asylum seekers, migrants entering the country to escape horrific situations elsewhere in the world. The Guardian reported nearly three quarters of final immigration court appeals brought by the Home Office against rulings allowing asylum seekers and other migrants to stay in the UK are dismissed. The low success rate raises concerns the Home Office is putting people through lengthy and expensive court processes when it has little chance of winning. One lawyer said the figures, which will be associated with the hostile environment policy, showed the government was needlessly stopping people getting on with their lives. Several of our ministerial colleagues have been very much involved with some of the work that with these people. Some of the stories that I know of make me ashamed to be British. But I'm also aware of the fact that I'm not sure how I would act or react if I was faced with giving welcome and hospitality to similar people myself. Do I judge people by the colour of their skin? Do I welcome the stranger, or am I happy to go about my daily life not worrying about others? And my suspicion is that we all somehow at times do show favouritism. So how do we respond to the word that James preaches to us today? I'm so pleased that at the end of the passage it says that mercy triumphs over judgment. It's a joy to know that even though at times we may well get it wrong in how we're trying to give a welcome, we may well ignore people that need our help and support. We may well say things that offend, cause hurt and pain. But at the end of it all, God is there. God is here with us. Jesus is here longing to embrace us. The Spirit is there, ever ready to comfort those who need comfort, to strengthen the weak. Can we make this place a space where hope can be found? Can we work together to provide a welcoming space for all? Are we able to permit tears to be cried here? May we ask questions? Can you and I be accepted as we are here in this place? Are we able to love our neighbour as ourselves? One of the ways that perhaps we can start to do that possibly a little bit better as a church is something that we touched on in our last Saturday morning Bible study. Perhaps by affirming those around us who have great gifts, and all of us do. Saying thank you when somebody has helped and encouraged us. Showing how much we really value one another. And if we do struggle to praise other people, to say well done to them for what they have done, whether it's just making us a cup of coffee, or sorting out the flower display. I hope I haven't wrecked it. If we do struggle to praise others, then let us take our hearts to God for some corrective surgery. We probably don't need transplants, although if we do, God has promised that he would replace any of our hearts of stone with hearts of flesh. But we may just need some gentle care, some corrective surgery, to begin to pick up the nudges that God wants to give us to help us to welcome the stranger, to invite in any that may be outcasts from our modern UK society. If we'd like to go there, can we pray that God will bring those people in? Amen.